Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 20, talks about the doctrine of election, and the doctrine of election is today and has been for hundreds of years a controversial doctrine. It is upsetting to many Christians, but election really has gotten the blame for things that are not its fault. You see, the issue really is not election, but depravity. The issue is, what is the condition of fallen man? Can fallen man help himself? Can he contribute in some way to his salvation? Will fallen man of himself choose Christ? If God simply makes salvation available and possible through Christ, will any one of themselves come to him? And what of the issue of man's free will? If man is totally depraved and will not on his own come to Christ, has he lost his free will? If God must intervene and change a person, change their heart before they will come to Christ, which is what election is about, does that mean that man has lost his free will? So you see, poor election has gotten caught between a rock and a hard place. It has gotten caught between the doctrines of depravity and free will, and it's getting smashed. Election isn't doing anything. Election is just sitting there saying, hey, I'm just here if you need me. You guys work it out and let me know. So the first question really is, what does total depravity mean? Well, total depravity does not mean that men are as evil as they could be. When you think about it, not even Hitler was as evil as he could have been. What total depravity does mean is that man's fall into sin has affected every part of him, including his intellect, so that five things are true. Number one, fallen man by nature is at enmity with God. He's at cross purposes with God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, it says that those who are in the flesh, in other words, those who do not have the Spirit of God indwelling them, they cannot please God because the carnal mind, the mind apart from the Spirit of God, is enmity against God. Why? Because it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Number two, man suppresses the truth about God. Romans 1 and verse 18 says that fallen man suppresses the truth in his unrighteousness. Number three, fallen man refuses to honor God or to give him thanks. He refuses to acknowledge God as God or give him thanks. In Romans 1 verse 21, it explains that even though all men have known God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Number four, fallen man is unwilling to come to Christ to be saved. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 40. He said to the people, you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Jesus is available. He's standing right in front of them. That's not the problem. He says, you're unwilling to come to me that you may have life. And finally, number five, as a result, fallen man cannot please God. That's what it says in Romans 8 and verse 8. Those who are in the flesh, those who do not have the Spirit of God, cannot please God. Now, all of this, putting all of this together, which is what total depravity means, that's where election comes in. Because the Father has to draw people to Christ or no one would come. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 6 and verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. It's not a matter of the Father standing in front of Christ kicking people away. No, it's a matter of what Jesus says in John chapter 5. You will not come to me that you might be saved. And therefore, what he says in John 6, 44 is true. Unless the Father draws someone, they will not come. And so when you look at election in that light, it's no longer a troubling doctrine. It is a very kind and precious doctrine. But what about the issue of free will in all of this? Does total depravity mean that man has lost free will? Or maybe we should ask it this way. Does fallen man have free will? Well, the answer is yes and no. And you may be wondering, well, why don't you just give a straight answer? Why isn't it either yes or no? Why you say yes or no? Well, because of this reason. You see, terms like free will or bondage of the will, they lead to confusion for one reason. The way normal people out there on the street think of freedom is different from the way the Bible speaks of freedom. The person on the street thinks of freedom in terms of the right to choose what they please. That's freedom to the normal person. The right to choose what I please. But you see, in the Bible, freedom is the power to choose what you should. So remember that distinction. The normal person, what's freedom? The right to choose what I please. In the Bible, what is freedom? The power to choose what you should. And so when we look at it that way, that's why I say, does man, fallen man have free will? Yes and no. Fallen man has free will in the sense that he is a free agent. He makes his own decisions for his own reason. Everybody in the history of the world, all the fallen people in the history of the world have made their own decisions for their own reasons. And that's the way the person on the street thinks of freedom. So the way they think of freedom, the right to choose what they please, are they free? Yes. Do they have free will? Yes, they do. However, when we look at it from the Bible's perspective, not in terms of the right to choose what I please, but the power to please what I ought, and therefore the power to choose what I ought, then the answer is no. Fallen man is not free from that, in that sense. He doesn't have the power to choose what he should. And specifically, fallen man lacks the power to overcome his enmity against God. In other words, he lacks the power to change his heart. He lacks the power to want what he should. He lacks the power to love what he should. He lacks the power to please what he should. He can't overcome the enmity that's in his heart toward God. He can't make himself love and desire God. And therefore, he can't bring himself to choose to come to Christ and be saved. That's what the Bible calls being dead in sin. And that's exactly what it teaches in Ephesians chapter 2, for example, verses 1 and 5, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Men, fallen men, are described as being dead in trespasses and sin and dead in transgressions. So what does all of this then have to do with the free offer of the gospel? Is the gospel freely offered to fallen men? Yes, absolutely. The gospel is freely offered to all. And whosoever wills may come. And whoever comes to Jesus will be saved. Let me say those three things again. The gospel is freely offered to all. Or maybe I should say Christ is freely offered to all. Number two, whosoever wills may come. Number three, all who come to Jesus will be saved. The problem is that given fallen man's heart, given the fact that he's dead in sins, the only ones who actually will come to Jesus, the only ones who will actually take up the free offer of the gospel, are the ones whom the Father draws, the ones whom the Father works in their heart to bring about a change so that now they please what they should, they want what they should, they love what they should. Now they come to Christ. Christ has been available all the time. You see, it's not an availability issue. It's an ability issue. Christ is available to all. The problem is fallen man doesn't have the ability to change his heart so that he loves what he should love. And again, that's why Jesus said, "You're unwilling to come to me that you may have life." And again, in John chapter 3, he said, "Look, here's the condemnation. You've got all of these sins that we're guilty of, but here's the final condemnation of fallen man. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." He says, everyone who practices evil hates the light, won't come into the light because their deeds are going to be exposed. So God has to work a change. Now, when you understand all of these things that the Bible teaches, When you understand what it teaches about the depravity of man, about the problem is not his, the problem is not a lack of free will. The problem is precisely free will. You see, that's the problem. Our free will, that's the problem. It's what we freely choose, that's the problem. It's what we won't freely choose, that's the problem. Someone once said that heaven is where man says to God, "Your will be done." And hell is where God says to man, "Your will be done." Hell is precisely God honoring in eternity a lifetime of decisions by free will. What we need as fallen persons is for God to change our free will so that we desire what we should, we want what we should, we love what we should. That is the only way we will come. And when we understand this, election is no longer a vexing doctrine. It is a precious doctrine.